The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program. WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network.
Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Wealthy Wednesdays at Real Live Real Estate Investing. And no, I am not Vina the Guidist. I am your guest host, Tiffany Ray. And today I'm going to be talking with Mr. David Randolph about why short sales are the deal finding strategy of 2026. But before we do that, got a little bit of housekeeping that I want to go over tonight, this evening at 7:30 p.m. tonight. Is the Summit Help Night. This night is for creative deals, and it's no lecture, no speaker. Just bring your creative deals and work on what you have in your pipeline with experienced investors that are here to help. If you want to sign up for this class tonight, it is at 7:30, and you can get more information about that at CincinnatiRIA.com. But back to our topic, which is very near and dear to me. You guys know that I did short sales for a very, very long time in the bank. So we're talking about why it's Wealthy Wednesdays and these short sales are going to be this strategy of the year. David, are you with me on the phone? Can you hear me, David?
Go ahead, David.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, hey, hey. I am here. How are you?
Frozen, but that's okay. I can still hear you.
No, likewise here, you know. So let's get right to it because we don't have a lot of time and this is a very in-depth strategy. And so before we jump in, I'd like to ask a question for just a little bit of building rapport and people to get to know a little bit about you, because I know that you've been doing this for a very long time and from the investor standpoint, right? So if you were to walk into a RIA room and I was just meeting you and I said, hey, David, why short sales? What would be your 30-second answer to that? And then what is the biggest misconception about who you are and what you do? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I think that, you know, if you went in a room like that and you asked about, you know, why short sales, and I would give probably a 10-second answer. The banks are dumping the houses right now. Mm-hmm. That's less than 30 seconds. And so they have had such a backlog of delinquent loans for so long through so many presidential administrations putting out mumbo-jumbo policies to delay it and push it back. And, you know, there are investors behind these loans, and the banks at this point are desperate to get these off their books. That's probably what I would say to somebody in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think you beat the 30-second mark. So then what pulled you into short sales, and just who are you, Mr. David Randolph?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because, you know, I have a little elevator speech. It's probably 30 seconds to a minute long, but, you know, everyone should have this. Every real estate investor listening to us right now should have something that they tell people when they go to a RIA meeting. You know, you break into groups and then you exchange ideas. You talk about who you are. And so for me, I say, hi, my name's David Randolph. I rehab about 5 to 10 houses a year. So yes, I'm a rehabber. But one of my claims to fame is that all my renovated houses, listed on the MLS, 275,000 and less, they have all sold in 7 days or less, at list price or higher, for 15 years, Tiffany, 15 wow. years. And that's because they're drop dead gorgeous. Now I've got this unfair advantage. I'm making personally, now this is me, not you or someone else, this is, I can only speak for me, I'm personally making $50,000 to $150,000 gross profit on each house. So it's super easy to sell them quickly. I put them up under the market. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a family can move in, and now of course they've been bidding the prices up, but you know, and so they move in and they outbid it, and they bring up the, you know, the value of the subdivision. So anyway, how do I do that though? Okay. And I do that through the method of buying houses called short sale. So for new real estate investors, a short sale is where the bank is going to discount what's owed. And so for 15 years, that's how I bought my houses. These are not on the MLS. These are not through a real estate agent. These are working with the family who reaches out to me that needs help to stop a foreclosure date and stuff. And so that's what how I bought my houses for the past 15 years. Beyond that, if we go another 10 seconds or so, I basically became a hard money lender. At one point, I've got like $3.5 million in cash in my IRAs that I lend out to other rehabbers. And then about 5 years ago, big people like Vena and others, Vena's not big, but you know, big big statue people of experience.
I'm sure she's listening. She's listening.
Now I'm in trouble. It's a good thing Vena's not on here, right? But people of stature who knew me said, you need to teach others how to do short sales. So Tiffany, I've been teaching other people across the country for 5 years how to do short sales as an investor. And so that's really who I am. That's me, real estate investor, 15 years, rehabbing and using short sale as my method of buying.
And I love that. And that's why I said, guys, that this was Wealthy Wednesdays. 15 years, a really long time. So I'm going to invite our listeners right now. Guys, you know, this is a live show. So we're here in Frigid. He's on the phone with me. David is. But this is Frigid Cincinnati. And it's very cold here right now. But I'm in studio just for you. So if you are so inclined and have a question, you may call us at 877-772-9658. And then when I walked in, I was just told that there's a new text line. For those of you who don't want to call in and be on the radio, you can also text your questions. And that number is 513-201-8249. So we hope to have some dialogue with you guys here shortly. So back to you, David. And we talked about this short sales being fantastic for you over the past 15 years, but what I'm hearing in the industry is that they are making a comeback. So other than just the bank's inventory, is there anything shifting in the market that investors need to really pay attention to?
Well, sure. I mean, if you have a market, and it could be local, San Francisco, Austin, and every city is always different, but as soon as you have a flattening out of the price appreciation of homes, everybody panics and the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. Well, that actually is a valid concern in the short sale world, because if you're an FHA buyer, the day you bought your house, you're underwater. You owe more than what it's worth, because to sell it, you have you only put down 3% and you got a 6% real estate commission. So if the market starts to flatten and say someone loses their job or has to move, you can't sell your house because you have not put down enough down payment. So I think that's a big thing that's affecting right now in 2026. And there's a lot of other stuff we can talk about with FHA, but that's kind of the main thing that is really on the surface publicly, you know, that people can see easily.
Mm-hmm. And that's simple math, but I don't even know that I've ever looked at it that way. You're talking about the 6% versus 3% down, so you almost have no skin in the game. You're like, you're upside down from the moment. That's a very unique perspective and would bring into why these people would be such good people to help should there become an issue, with them down the road for that requires a short sale. So let's talk about the type of property, I guess, because I hear FHA, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a specific type of property. So homeowners get into these situations and they, what are the ones and the type of property that make the best short sale candidates? Like, are there red flags that tell you to walk away from a particular deal, or?
I think that, I mean, doing these for 15 years, you know, I started out with short sales going, okay, let's just do a short sale on a house where it needs a lot of rehab, it's mm-hmm. in really bad shape. And that made sense, but then back in 2015, I said, I'm going to do a short sale on a house that was only like 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And the bank basically is looking at a completely different criteria. Just like investors look for a distressed seller who needs help, and maybe a real estate agent's not able to help them. And so investors can step in with creative deals and creative ways. Banks are just like sellers. They are distressed banks. They've got other criteria. For example, if they have too many non-performing notes, too many people missing their payments, and they get too many of them, the FDIC will shut them down. And so you come in with an offer, they may accept it. Okay, and so that's a big criteria there that I think where I don't look at anymore. Is it just a very bad, torn up, you know, house that needs lots of work? It can be a, what we call a pretty house, and they'll still give a big discount. I remember buying one for $130,000, you know, this example one, and I put $30,000 into it because I finished the basement, but I didn't do anything else. I mean, upstairs was great. And I sold it for $235. So I paid $130, put $30 in it, and sold it for $235. And that was a six-year-old house. And so ever since then, Tiffany, I do short sales on really any type of house. Now, if we start talking about types of loans, that's a much longer conversation. But if you asked me about the house type, I don't distinguish anymore on the house type.
Okay, and that's really interesting. I remember when everybody, like you said, used to look for that distressed property, especially in the flippers market. And then it became, hey, let's do a pretty flip. So I hear you in that. But you rang something true to me with this FHA. And then you talked about types of loans. And so I don't want you to give away everything, because I happen to know that you're going to be with us online out for a workshop on February the 28th. Isn't that right?
Yes, and I'm going to be revealing what the different loan types that the banks will accept. See, a lot of people make this huge mistake, and this can happen with real estate agents that aren't properly trained like an investor might be. See, investors, we can go and learn from our RIA groups, and we can learn from different people that are actually doing it. A lot of times in real estate with realtors, you know, they receive some kind of training that's a CPDEU credit, but really it's not in depth for them. And so what happens is that, you know, they don't learn about the different loan types and the percentage. So the biggest mistake that I see them make is the bank, as you know, comes out and does an appraisal on the property. It's the bank's own appraisal. They're forcing me to pay that price. They determine the price. But what real estate agents, and you know, just I'm saying realtors because they're the ones that list properties, they will list it for the appraisal value. And that might sound like that would make logical sense, but on the 28th of February, I'm going to be revealing that each loan type will accept a percentage of that appraisal. And a lot of people don't understand that. And on February 28th, I'll be talking about that.
Fantastic. And I'm being told that we need to take a good break. So I think now is a good time with the teaser that you just put out there. We'll take a break. Don't go away, guys. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tiffany, and I am your guest host, and I'm talking to David Randolph about short sales. Again, the lines are not lit up. You know this is a live show. You may text us at 513-201-8249 or give us a buzz if you have a burning question, 877-772-9658. Before we took our break, David was telling us about percentage of an appraisal, and he was explaining that on February 28th, we are going to be in an all-day online workshop. It's going to be all about short sales, and we're going to dig into all the details of how to do them, where to do them, why to do them, and all the answers. But you can find more information about that if you're interested in attending at Cincinnati REIA. That's CincinnatiREIA.com, and that is $47 for members and $97 for non-members. So, David, back to this appraisal thing. So I was thinking, it sounds complicated, and I know that sometimes short sales, just from being in the industry, can be daunting, but some myth busting, maybe some strategy comparisons. What are the biggest misconceptions to these investors about how short sales work? Like, why do you think investors overcomplicate this? David, are you with me? Can you hear
sorry,
me?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Okay, sorry. I was on speaker and it wasn't working.
Oh, no worries.
Very well.
Did you hear the question? I think you did.
I heard the question on the misconceptions. Yeah. You know, probably one of the first ones, though, that holds people back from helping families out is they say, I don't want to try to do that because I might screw it up, and then they go to foreclosure. Mm-hmm. That's probably a huge misconception side. Look, these families are in trouble. They need your help. And they screwed up. You didn't screw up. All you're doing is helping them as best you can. If you don't step up and help them, they will go to foreclosure anyway. So you're not going to get them in worse shape, okay? All you're going to do is make an attempt to help them. So many people won't step in and learn or step in and try and help the family, and they just let them go to foreclosure. The other misconception on a basis as far as, you know, investors trying to look at them is, you know, that they don't understand that the banks are in control. Mm-hmm. You need to let the bank be in control and do what they want, but give them the facts and figures. For example, okay, banks are going to determine the actual value, and they're required to do an interior appraisal. And so you've got to make sure that they send their guy, not your guy, their guy out there, and they determine the value. So I think that's where the biggest misconception is. People don't even know, about the process, and it's a really simple process once you learn it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't disagree with you, and it is about helping. And foreclosure is a scary, that's a scary word. People don't buy their house to go into foreclosure, so I'm sure that there are a lot of emotional attachments or emotional sides for the people feeling embarrassed or overwhelmed, but I'm sure there's the same for the investor that's trying to help them. So do you have any advice before we go to our caller on line one? Do you have any advice about the emotional side of this work to an investor to help them make a decision about, hey, this is the right thing to do to help the homeowner out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very emotionally charged situation. Number one thing is you as the investor cannot judge the homeowner, the borrower, the seller. You know, you can't judge them, okay? And so, you know, they're in trouble in life. And, you know, my wife and I started doing this together in 2009 to help families out. That was a big crisis back then. The banks were not following any kind of regulations that was consistent and stuff like that. And so, you know, the family's confused, and they made poor decisions financially, and you can't judge them for that. And so you have to step in and ignore the side of how they got there and instead tell them where you can help them go to in the future. And that's probably the biggest thing that is emotionally important for you to convey, you know, to the homeowner.
Makes sense to me, and I just thought I would put that in there because you have to realize that, you know, we are real estate investors and we do solve problems, and so this is a problem for someone. We just happen to be talking about their home, so I thank you for that answer. Are you ready to take a call from one of our call-ins?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Russ from Connecticut. How are you? Can you hear us, Russ? Are you
Hello,
still there?
Russ.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
I'm good, thank you. You're welcome. David, great to meet you. I guess I'm hearing you say that they've always been here since you've been doing this about 15 years. And even though, you know, Venus says they're back in bigger numbers, what other, besides the different loan types and the percentages of the appraised value, what other differences are you finding this time with short sales in this go around again?
No, that's a great question. Do you remember this 2020? We had, what was that thing, Tiffany? COVID-17 or was it
19.
No COVID-19?
That's
no,
right.
19. But that's a great question, because in 2020 the CARES Act came out with a moratorium And we remember that because the renters, all of our renters, stopped making their payment. And we complained. We marched on Washington, D.C. and said, no, that's not fair. Well, at the same time, and Tiffany knows this, at the same time, homeowners who had a home loan were allowed to stop making their house payment. And for 18 months, people built up this backlog of no payments. Now, nobody marched on D.C. to help the banks out on it, but the banks really kind of got the shaft, so to speak. I don't know if you can say that on the radio, but the banks really got a bad deal, and no one was there to help them. Now, here you've got this CARES Act, this moratorium. That ended, okay, in August of 21, and so we've got what's called the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau,